Greetings, everyone. Welcome.
A brand new way of being.
Wow. It's a high vibration variety show. I've got some music, comedy, most interesting guests, fantastic conversation with a wide variety of minds and hearts that make up our collective we.
My name is Brian Bruno. This is Apple Ridge Farm, and we're in Sellersburg, Pennsylvania. We're a 7-acre farm. We produce certified naturally grown produce. We do hydroponic produce. We have a wood-fired brick oven bakery. We do a lot of value-added products. We do pasture-raised chicken, eggs, and pork. We also keep about 14 beehives. What makes Apple Ridge Farm unique is the extreme diversity we have here. Instead of trying to do a whole lot of one thing, we try to do a little bit of everything, and I think by doing that, each thing is better for it. Nature is that way. Nature is very diverse. There's, you know, and things are constantly changing, and there's ecosystems within other ecosystems, and there really is no waste, because the waste from one thing is the start of the next thing.
If we have a ton of eggplant that didn't sell over the weekend, then Brian's like, how can we use this? How can we translate this into a value-added food or put it on a focaccia? And even if it does go in the trash, it's going to piggies and chickens.
We're always trying new things. Like this week we're working on making, we make pizzas here, so we're making our own cheese. So I'm really excited to see how the cheese is going to turn out this week. We're just talking today about mushrooms, so there might be mushrooms down the road. The more you learn about food, the more you read, the more you realize how the food system works, the more you see it firsthand, being it part of it, you just realize, you know, the right way to do something. The more you know, the more you can't go back to doing something a different way.
It makes me feel good selling it to other people, too, that I know what all went into it, who touched that, you know, that nothing was sprayed on it, nothing was genetically modified, so that makes me feel really good about it. Working here and being here and working as a team here, you know, everyone believes in that sort of thing. It's a really good environment to be in.
It's healthier food. I think it's healthier for people. I think it's also healthier for the planet. It's the responsible thing to do.
Good afternoon, everyone. How are you? Collectively, ready? Everybody answer on three. One, two, three. That's a lot of answers. That's a lot of answers, and it gives me even more questions. The first question I have for you is, are you ready for today's episode? This is my second episode on BBS Radio, the great BBS Radio that I've only just discovered. I love this platform. I love these guys. What a fantastic, family-owned, amazing opportunity for so many options on how to, you know, run your show, your page, your guests, your links. They do it all. I mean, it's like every station, everything is covered. Everything is covered. They're amazing. So far, what I've seen is they're amazing. Thank you very much, Donald and Douglas, for all of the amazing work you do. And I'm going to stop saying amazing because it's so immature and I'm trying to grow up. I really am. I mean, in just small ways. But I'm really excited about today's first guest because it's a great interview. It's one of my favorite interviews for so many reasons. I mean, the content is awesome. This is Brian Bruno from Apple Ridge Farms in Sellersburg, PA. And he is one of many busy farmers, creators, feeders, cleaner-uppers, emergency tend-toers on their farm. And the most amazing thing about their farm in Salersburg, PA, is their sustainability, is what they do to steward the land, to keep the natural cycles, natural tendencies, everything as close to nature as possible, with as least interference as possible. And it just shows. I mean, we sat there in this kitchen with one of these old fashioned phones hanging on the wall. I don't mean just a landline. I mean the kind that, you know, the original Bell telephones, and just little plantings around, and nice sounds outside, and so many wonderful things. And the most wonderful thing, my friend Christy, our friend Christy Coaches, who has passed, and we miss her very, very much. And she was there, sitting at the table as well, off camera. We enjoyed that day so very much. And that day was years ago. So much has happened. And that interview went from one iPhone to another broken iPhone. Finally got downloaded. Oh, as soon as I download the Apple Ridge Farms thing, I'll post that and my channel will be up and running, because this is good, helpful information. And it's literally years later. I'm not sure how many. I think it must be over two. It was the summer, I think, Christy passed, maybe even the summer before. Anyway, we're going to get right to it. We're also going to play a little intro from their website. They have a little 2-minute video that explains the highlights of their farm. And then we will enjoy the interview with Brian Bruno from Apple Ridge Farms from the past. You're living in the past, man. We're bringing it into the present. This is the now show. We're just doing things now. We're not waiting for anything. There's no waiting. Do it now. Here we are. I would like to give a few shout outs here to some fantastic supporters, some local businesses whose local business is well worth repeating and repeating and repeating. One of my favorite repeat businesses on both of our ends is Butler's Flat. Butler's Flat is this adorable, small clam shack. There's a little clam shack, North Shore, Long Island, Port Washington. It's famous, famous Long Island Sound, where Amelia Earhart apparently took off, where the first boat planes, whatever they were called, I don't know. So much information along the beautiful walkway here in Port Washington, New York. This dockside, harborside, beautiful wooden deck, plenty of tables, low tops, high tops, two tops, four tops, six tops. They could do parties. They could do everything. And you're just right there on the water. And the sunsets are unmatchable, and the swans come by, and the birds come by, and it's so lovely. But the food is fantastic. They specialize in lobster rolls and local seafood. And when I first moved here, it was November. They had just closed a month ago, and they had a sign about crispy rock shrimp tacos. And a sign that said, see you in May. And I stood there with a completely growling belly and non-growling dog, Jupiter. And we said, well, what can we do? What can we do about these crispy rock shrimp tacos? What even is a rock shrimp? I guess it's the kind of shrimp. Figure that out. That's been a long, I've come a long way with my terminology now at Butler's Flat, because they've got chowder. They've got a fisherman's chowder, a seafood chowder. It's delicious. And nothing fancy, like the cutlery or anything. I mean, you're pretty much almost on the beach. You're above water, which is good. You know, this is a dockside, fantastic location. They have Montauk crisp, refreshing adult beverages. They have my favorite black cherry, Boylan's, excuse me, couldn't think of the name, Boylan's sodas, which I think are wonderful. They have wine, so you could sit there. They have burgers, cheeseburgers, shrimp. Their coleslaw is fantastic, little chips. Everything is served so perfectly. I mean, the burger is like just the right size. You know, I know if you're a big guy, maybe a giant burger is what you want to shove in your mouth, but I cannot even, I need to be able to hold a burger and it's not like overwhelming. This is an excellent sized burger for a he or a she. All right. It's late. It's been a long day and I've announced my comedy tour. My comedy tour kicking off 8 cities starting November 11th. 11-11, it's a portal day. And between now and then, I'm going back to Butler's Flat to do some more relaxing, unwinding, and post-production work. It's the cat's pajamas to sit there with my laptop and edit like fabulous family portraits with a beer and a, what did I have the other day? I had a beer which turned into another taller one. It like grew somehow. It's just the magic of the North Shore. And I had a New England clam chowder, just perfect. And I had a grilled cheese to go for my roommate. And everything's just done so well. Easy peasy. Well, you know it ain't easy peasy. They make it seem that way. My dog was not with me. Sometimes I bring him. One time I brought him and sat down and he ended up lunging after another dog and the leash was attached to the table, which pulled it. It was a six top. And so let's say it was attached at the northwest corner. He pulled it southeast, and so the six top, which is two square tables put together with six chairs around them, all kind of went sliding with him. Yeah, I mean, I stopped it as soon as I could, you know, but pretty much all of those items dragged across the deck there in front of everybody. And I was like, I'll be here all week. So we're not taking, he's going to be on the tour too. Just wait till you see, you're going to love it. Anyway, without further ado, I want to bring on my next interview, Brian Bruno, Apple Ridge Farms. Everybody, please check him out. I mean, they provide the breads and stuff for the Easton Farmers Market, which has a farm to table, which is their farm and other things. they make their own dough. They make everything that goes into the pizzas at scratch. They use everything. They use every part of their farm. They're pretty amazing, and it's really hard to do. It's really, really hard to do. So I commend them, and I hope you enjoy this interview. So check them out, and let us know what you think in the comments. Like, subscribe, consider a free or paid subscription, get early content, check out our merch, check out our classes, check out the upcoming photography show, Densities. It is 3D to 5D conversation in photos. All right. Thanks so much for listening. I thank you all for your continued support and enjoy the show.
My name is Brian Bruno. This is Apple Ridge Farm, and we're in Sellersburg, Pennsylvania. We're a 7-acre farm. We produce certified naturally grown produce. We do hydroponic produce. We have a wood-fired brick oven bakery. We do a lot of value-added products. We do pasture-raised chicken, eggs, and pork. We also keep about 14 beehives. What makes Apple Ridge Farm unique is the extreme diversity we have here. Instead of trying to do a whole lot of one thing, we try to do a little bit of everything, and I think by doing that, each thing is better for it. Nature is that way. Nature is very diverse. There's, you know, and things are constantly changing, and there's ecosystems within other ecosystems, and there really is no waste, because the waste from one thing is the start of the next thing.
If we have a ton of eggplant that didn't sell over the weekend, then Brian's like, how can we use this? How can we translate this into a value-added food or put it on a focaccia? And even if it does go in the trash, it's going to piggies and chickens.
We're always trying new things. Like this week we're working on making, we make pizzas here, so we're making our own cheese. So I'm really excited to see how the cheese is gonna turn out this week. We're just talking today about mushrooms, so there might be mushrooms down the road. The more you learn about food, the more you read, the more you realize how the food system works, the more you see it firsthand, being it part of it, you just realize, you know, the right way to do something. The more you know, the more you can't go back to doing something a different way.
It makes me feel good selling it to other people, too, that I know what all went into it, who touched that, you know, that nothing was sprayed on it, nothing was genetically modified. So that makes me feel really good about working here and being here and working as a team here. You know, everyone believes in that sort of thing. It's a really good environment to be in.
It's healthier food. I think it's healthier for people. I think it's also healthier for the planet. It's the responsible thing to do.
We were just talking about the fictitious information that's sometimes in the stores about what's GMO, about what's fat-free, about what's organic.
It's all very confusing. It's I can tell you, last week my girlfriend was at Wegmans and called me and said, "Hey, can you help me figure out chicken?" You know, and it took us 20 minutes to, you know,
stand there for
she
so
said,
long.
So the organic chicken says this, but the not organic, the natural chicken says no. What does it say? No antibiotics or hormones or whatever, you know, but. Then I know, like, the USDA has said to me, because we actually put on our label, you know, chicken not fed any antibiotics or hormones. And the guy said to me, "Oh, you can't put that, because all chicken, by law, can't contain antibiotics and hormones at the time that it's butchered."
Okay.
And I said, "Well, yeah, but mine says fed." And he said, "Oh, okay, you're all right then." But the thing is, like, it's, again, marketing. You could say all chicken, technically by law, I believe, has to be antibiotic or hormone free, mm-hmm. you know, in the meat. Like, mm-hmm. you can't, so if you're given, you know, and a lot of your labels on antibiotics, different things will say, you know, there's a time that that between when you can do it and when you can harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So that it doesn't show up in the meat. So, you know, it's
right.
interesting. It doesn't mean that, a lot of times it doesn't mean that it wasn't used in the process.
Yeah. Just so basically, there's no way a consumer would know all of this if you're reading it. You just see,
so
know this and know that. And I'm going to get it.
And, you know, a farmer that was next to me at one of the farmer's markets said to me, he said, you know, we do notice that local farms, the farmer's markets are on the decline. We're losing a lot of market share to the big, you know, he said to me, he said, "You know, a lot of my customers have been saying that they're buying this new pork from the, you know, the local grocery store. He said, so I went in there to check it out. I want to see what it was. And he said, so I looked in the packages. I Googled the name. He said, it was a division of Hatfield Farms. They just, yeah. You know, they took one farm and changed the name.
You know, so once you get information, then they change names so that now MSG isn't called MSG anymore.
Yeah.
And you can't.
And if a little company's doing well and is gaining stuff, you know, the big guys will buy them. You know, an example of like Honest Tea, I believe, is owned by PepsiCo. You know,
you get
it going and the big guys, they'll buy you. But it's confusing even for me trying to figure out, you know, how to, you know, because I don't do boneless, skinless chicken breasts. So when my girlfriend needed some and was at the store, it took us a while. And even then we were still confused at what actually she got or what was better. So I always tell people the best way to know what you're eating is you've got to really know where it came from. If you can't trace it back to a farm, really trust that a brand name, you know, even like...
has your back.
Yeah, even like with milk, if you mentioned Klein Farms, like, you can go to Klein Farms, you know, it's a family, you can ask Lane Klein, how did you produce your milk? Like, but you know, if you're buying like a big name brand, you're buying from a lot of farms, you know, and you're trusting that they have the standards that you want, you're trusting that they have the oversight to maintain those standards, and it's like, you're putting a lot of trust into a corporation.
That's right.
And if there's one thing we've learned from corporations, it's that they're about profits more than they're about doing what's right. So even a lot of the big, producers have been, you know, you see all these things, you know, a lot of big dairies have been found that were organic that actually weren't organic. So, I mean, I always tell people, like, you know, the supermarkets will always make it more convenient, but the,
find your local farm and but, be able to know where it's coming
from. Yeah, they're going to make it convenient and they're going to make it sound good and they're going to make it, you know, and sometimes it is good, but a lot of times it's too good to be true.
Right. You have a giant supermarket and then they have an aisle that says, health food, and you're like, okay, what's all this?
Yeah,
I should tell you.
Another huge piece of that is that.
Just make sure we're going. I'm so sorry. Very.
Yeah. We have someone here to pick up proceeds from biochar sales.
Yes.
What's going on?
We owe him $100. That's
$100.
Yeah. Right. Because we owe him. Ask him. I think we owe him for two cases.
Two cases.
Because you paid him for the first case.
It's the wife and kid. It looks like.
No.
It's Ivan. But didn't we pay him for the first case? Ask him. I think he gave us three cases. I think we paid him for one. So I think we all minded
both. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's not the same guy that came by.
Oh, it should be. He called. Maybe he just looks different.
Maybe.
I don't know.
He grew up complete. No worries.
Just ask him if he can write us an invoice of some kind.
Okay.
Because just even write it down for the three. Just tell him to just write it on a piece of paper that I can use.
Does that phone get reception anywhere out of this house?
Yeah.
So I can do some business calls outside.
Oh, yeah. It goes to the bakery.
About the...
So, the other thing, too, about this, organic, and people always will say to me, like, you know, a lot of people will say, we think organic is baloney. It's not like... I'm not certified organic. I'm certified naturally grown.
Right.
But I have... look through the organic application. I have, we looked into it. But the record keeping was more than we could keep up with.
It seems like it just is such an obstacle but you don't necessarily need it when you just grow it the right way.
Right. But I will say I respect it. Like, it does mean something. It doesn't mean, so for example, when you talk about chicken, you can have organic chicken that never eats grass. Which to me doesn't mean healthy chicken.
Right.
But it does mean clean chicken.
Okay.
You know, because organic does, in my opinion, mean no chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
It means no GMOs. I mean, there are standards. But when you look at, farming, I feel like as it scales up, it's harder and harder to be sustainable.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you have, for me, for this kind of farming that we do, just to use chickens as an example, I really don't think I can have a flock of chickens that has more than 200 birds in it. Without being too much of a manure load on the ground, without being, you know,
right,
without,
like there are limits, but in their natural limits that makes sense, right?
So if you have a, let's say a chicken house
How many chickens do you have?
We have two flocks. Each one is about 150 birds.
Okay.
And we were approached years ago by Whole Foods and they said, hey, you know, we have microloans, we have this and that, like we will give you money to produce a lot more, eggs, you know, in their New York City stores, you know, I sat down, I thought about it, and I said, you know, there's no way I can do that volume the right way. So, like, what you like about me would be ruined if I tried to sell to you your volume,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
um,
unless contradict these are, what they're looking for.
Kind of. I mean, unless there's a whole lot of really small flocks, because really that's so much work, and honestly, that's a whole other issue, is, you know, just finding good health.
Yeah. Days.
So that is an issue now. So you get these bigger, you know, you have these, still if you have these giant monocrop farms, they have their issues. If you have giant, you know, if you have a poultry house that has 500,000 birds in it, you're concentrating manure. You still have all these environmental and social issues that come with, you know. When we got away from the small, diverse family farm, I really feel like we got away from overall sustainability. Right. So organic doesn't necessarily mean sustainable. It doesn't necessarily mean healthy, but it does mean clean.
Right. You don't need organic, am I correct, in things that have like a thick skin, like bananas? Or
that I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. It's hard to say because
it grow underground. Like, you know, you wouldn't waste money on an organic potato, but I kind of feel like that it's without no chemicals.
I wouldn't say that because read that the potatoes from Idaho that are for specific potatoes, I don't remember if they're McDonald's French fries or something like that, they're treated with a pesticide where they actually have to be put in these giant... they have to be actually put in warehouses for a certain amount of time to gas off all that.
Oh my god! Gross.
Because there's a lot of chemicals that are used in the ground for things and fungicides and all that kind of stuff. So yeah.
And you were saying when I first met you, way back when, we go way back to 2 days ago, I think, right?
Yeah.
You look the same. Yeah, changed a bit. That it starts with the soil, but even before then, do we want to go through the process of how things...
Yeah, well, and just to talk about, again, to talk about like organic farming versus conventional farming. Organic farming is you're really, and when you're talking about vegetables and things, you're managing soil. So you're managing soil to make healthy soil, and the soil feeds the plants. With conventional farming, you're relying on soluble plant available, you know, chemical fertilizers.
Right.
So, you know, you put down a whole bunch of liquid fertilizer that the plants can immediately take up. But what they don't take up ends up in the environment. You know, some of it in the soil, some of it in, you know, downstream, you know, ultimately into the ocean.
Right.
With organic farming, you're taking whole things. You're taking, just basic inputs, and you're letting the soil biome or whatever make it available to the plant. So the fungus, the bacteria, you know, they're breaking these things down. They're making it available. Like they're finding that fungus plays a huge role in actually being that link between soil and rock and plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in farming, you work on good healthy soil. You make sure that the soil's got enough carbon in it. You make sure it's got enough nitrogen in it. You make sure it's got enough all the things it needs.
How do you know that? Do you have to do tests? Do you use notes from your...
You can, yeah, no, there's absolutely, there are soil tests, and all those things, but there's also, like, for us, it's just a lot of raw inputs, like, so, you know, our basis here is mainly, like, it seems like we're moving more and more towards leaves, and again, leaves for us are a waste product, like, we noticed, all of our neighbors were burning leaves, and we said, wow, you know, how can we get hold of these leaves, because, you know, the leaves are how forests make soil. I mean, you know, trees, like forests create more soil than anything. A forest and like prairies where you have buffalo stomping grass into the ground.
Right. It's all
that's how soil is made. Yeah. So we said, wow, you know, let's put a sign out. So several years ago, we put a sign on the corner that just said, drop your bag of leaves here. And, you know, we probably get 1,000 or more bags of leaves
that
now.
That is so great because that's the community. Like what guys are saying, what can someone give who has nothing to give?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have the time, you don't have any vegetables to trade, give us your dead leaves.
Yeah, and it saves people from having to, you know, burn them or, you know, how do we get rid of them? Okay. Check would be better if you can. So the leaves are basically, we use them, we mulch around a lot of our plants, we do compost them, in between the time we need them, we use them as weights to hold down our stuff. What is okay. So leaves are one of our main inputs, and what's really cool is we found that because another thing we, you know, with our style of farming is that tillage is really like a no-no. Like the less you disturb the soil, the better it does.
Really?
Because you don't want to till up the fungus pot communities and the worms and the bacteria.
Yeah.
So we actually found, like, if we put, let's say, like, with our potato crop, we'll actually take the time to mulch the whole thing. And, you know, we'll mulch it like 4 inches thick of leaves. And we found that the worms will come right up into those leaves because the worms want to eat that, you know. Yeah. So you have this like where the leaves contact the soil, you get the worm activity underneath, it makes the soil super light.
Wow.
And we can actually reach in and like hand harvest our new potatoes.
Wow.
So we go through and we steal probably 30 bushels of new potatoes right from the plant.
That are in the leaf.
Well, no, it's in the soil, but in the top fluffy layer. We reach right in, we steal those, and we found the plants and put them right back. You know, like a potato plant is basically like a solar panel that stores solar energy in a battery, which is a potato. So you steal all them, and the sun's still hitting those leaves. They're still taking that energy. You're just going to put them right back. So yes, yeah, so now we actually hand harvest a lot of our potatoes by hand until the tops die, and our yield's doubled that way.
Wow.
So, you know, like these things that, you know, we just kind of, you know, learn, but the leaves allowed us to keep the soil moist, keep it, really fluffy. And then at the end of the season, those leaves are pretty well rotted down and that soil is super light and dark.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a light feeling with a dark color. Yeah, all that carbon is really good. Really good.
Right.
So we do,
and then you also do hydroponics too, right? So you...
we do a little bit of hydroponics. We do lettuce, mm-hmm. and we do like pea shoots, hydroponically. And, what that allows us to do is grow a lot of material on a very small space,
mm-hmm.
With very fast turnarounds. We don't have any weeding to do. We don't have any, tillage. I mean, it allows us to produce a lot in a little bit of space because our farm's not very big and we don't want to over exceed our system's capacity.
Right.
So, yeah. So
and rotating soil and everything.
Yeah.
And that's why. So the chickens are completely free range. They just run around.
Our chickens are what we call them out. Like most of your pasture raised, chicken systems are what's called a day range system. We have like a chicken coop surrounded by temporary fencing. So what we do, instead of putting the fencing around the chickens, we put the fencing around the places we don't want the chickens. So we let the chickens go anywhere they want in the farm, mm-hmm. except for like in our, where we have vegetables planted in places, mm-hmm. where we don't want any chicken, mm-hmm. disturbance. And what that allows them to do is basically create their own diet.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, they'll be eating broadleaf weeds. Sometimes they'll be eating grass. A lot of times, during the day when the hawks, you know, it's a clear day and they're worried about hawks, they're like working the fence lines and they're working like our mulch piles and places for bugs.
They're worried about the hawks as predators or?
Yeah. So they generally are only out in the field, like, exposed. In the hours of the day when the visibility is low.
Mm-hmm.
So like early morning, they're out across the whole field eating grass and bugs and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the day, they stick to like the fence lines. They stay underneath the apple trees. Like, you know, they stay undercover.
Right.
And then in the evening when the light's fading again, you know, it's almost like when you're driving on the highway those times of day when, you know, it's really hard to see.
Yeah.
That's when the hawks don't see well either, I guess.
Oh.
And then the chickens will go right back out.
Right.
Wow. So they're, you know, the smart ones, and then the ones that have no sense at all get picked off.
That's right, and that's natural selection.
That's
sorry,
natural selection.
Dummies.
Yeah. Which is part of why people always say, "Why are your eggs so expensive?" You know, and we always say, "Well, by the time like one of our chicken flocks, you know, we'll be keeping 2 years. By the time they're 2 years old, we've lost almost half the birds to predators. So I mean, there's a huge cost.
Wow.
In animals,
because
you have foxes, you have hawks, you have fisher cats.
Fisher cats, those big things, new.
They're like a weasel. It's kind of It's like a big long weasel.
Uh-huh.
It looks like a cat, but it's longer. And they are. It's a native forest thing that when Pennsylvania was clear cut, they were gone, completely eradicated. And the Game Commission brought them back several years ago, and which is good. But they found out like their main food source around people is domestic cats and chickens.
Oh my god!
So yeah,
wow.
So when you do get a fisher cat, they can hit you pretty hard.
Yeah, I heard about that. Keep your cats inside or something.
Yeah, they can hit us pretty hard. So so we lose a lot of chickens.
Wow, how many do you lose?
Half. Over 2 years. So
over
if I start a flock with 200 birds, you know, I usually by the time we're done, we have 100 birds left.
God.
And we're getting better and better at that. You know, we're getting We have automatic doors now that open and close on our chicken coops. So as soon as the sun goes down, that door closes.
Right. So no one can get in and they can't get in.
Yeah. But you just never know. I mean, when a fox finds a way in,
yeah,
they don't just take one. They usually take 30 to 40.
Ooh.
So when you do get a fox, you lose a lot of chickens.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because they're not used to getting that much food all at once. So their, right, their brain tells them, like, get it all. And they'll take them and they'll hide them. They'll dig shallow holes and they'll bury them all in the woods and they'll try and stuff them.
Anywhere they
can. Wow. Yeah, I've had neighbors say, oh man, I saw a fox run by like five times and they're stuffing all the chickens underneath the ferns in our backyard. You know, like they're trying to hide them.
I had no idea. Squirreling the chickens for the frat party later.
Yeah. And sometimes you just get foxes that just seem to kill them just to kill them. You know, just find chickens like just all mutilated.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's
part
of the big job.
So we've we just keep making our pens better and trying to figure out ways to make it, you know, so we're getting better and better at it as the time goes on. But still, you lose. I mean, there's not much you can do about hawks.
No, right.
You know, middle of the day, a hawk's going to come, you know.
Wow, there's nothing you can do about it.
Hawks don't have a natural predator, and they're protected. Predators, wow. So there's nothing you can do, really. Just leave birds in the hawk.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, I'm going to check this and one more question, and then we're done.
Cool. And I really appreciate it. Hold on a second. Do-do-do-do-do. Great. Awesome.
So what do you eat? Who are you? What do you eat?
What do I eat?
What's a breakfast or a lunch or a...
I eat, yeah, so it's funny, like, I mean, I kind of eat what's available to me. So, like, when I go to the supermarket, I'm pretty much buying orange juice, milk and orange juice, yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then most everything else is from here.
Yeah.
Right now we're eating a lot of lettuce. We're eating a lot of pea shoots.
Mm-hmm.
We're finishing up potatoes. We're eating a lot of not really that nice potatoes, but you know,
right,
they're all right.
Yeah.
We're eating,
is there anything that you don't eat, like a whole category, right? You're omnivorous.
I try to eat anything that comes out of, like, so I won't eat cereal. I think cereal
that's
is the worst
totally
thing.
That's totally highly processed. It's the worst thing. Right.
Yeah. We make our own cereal.
Your bakery,
our bakery makes granola. Yeah,
cookie was amazing.
We make granola. We also make a granola cookie. I don't eat too much. You know, I don't eat things that are pre-processed.
Right.
I don't eat. We still cook a whole chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And that's dinner, and then that's like two lunches.
Right.
A lot of root vegetables. I love that. You know, roast a lot of root vegetables. A lot of things that can be. A little olive oil and roasted.
What morning? I'm just curious.
What's that? In the morning?
Yeah.
In the morning, so I eat the same thing every day. I eat I eat kefir with a cereal my dad makes called mush.
Yeah.
It's a mix of wheat germ, granola, whey protein. it's got a lot of stuff in it. Flax seeds.
All that stuff is just.
It's
so
got a lot of super
fantastic.
Healthy stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, what's your position on vegetarianism or with humans? Do you, like, I feel like the, you know, anyway, just last question.
My position is, I mean, I'm an omnivore and that's what I am.
Yeah.
You know, I don't eat supermarket meat.
Right.
So I'm fortunate that I have access to animals I know, you know. If I didn't raise them, like, even like I buy a whole cow from a farmer down the road, I know he raises it the way I want it raised.
Yeah.
If I wasn't in that position, I don't know. I think I'd still eat meat, but I would eat a lot less of it.
Right. It kind of makes sense that vegetarianism also is like a, you know, Weston Price, I'm sure, right?
Weston Price
Foundation?
Yeah.
He talked about vegetarianism, and it makes sense, because some people really just don't want to kill animals. I get that. And I know, some people don't like it, some people whatever, but he was saying that even years ago when people were vegetarians, they were still getting microscopic bugs that are in the plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually enough of protein for your brain or the X factor or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That, and so now everything is so sterilized that's why a lot of vegetarianism isn't as healthy as, but he was just saying that it makes you weak, and that you don't like the eating lean meat was having, you know, like troops really.
Yeah, because that fat, again, that fat carries so much of the good stuff with it.
Right.
Fat is really a good thing. I eat a ton of fat.
Yeah, I do too.
And if I'm not eating bacon or some kind of fat, I'm cooking in fat.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I save all my fat from when I cook.
Yeah.
I cook, you know, I use it, like my green beans are cooking bacon fat. Or, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's really good.
Fantastic.
He was also big on, you know, the alternatives to meat. And, you know, Weston Price very much, I believe, tries to avoid soy, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because when you process that, it's estrogen, you're getting breast cancer and everything. All these women are eating tofu and getting breast cancer.
And soy is another, it's one of the major GMO crops. It's one of the major Roundup crops. It's one of the major, you know what I mean? Soy is, there's a lot of bad stuff. So you're trying to...
But not the soybean. You eat soybean.
My name is Brian Bruno. This is Apple Ridge Farm, and we're in Sellersburg, Pennsylvania. We're a 7-acre farm. We produce certified naturally grown produce. We do hydroponic produce. We have a wood-fired brick oven bakery. We do a lot of value-added products. We do pasture-raised chicken, eggs, and pork. We also keep about 14 beehives. What makes Apple Ridge Farm unique is the extreme diversity we have here. Instead of trying to do a whole lot of one thing, we try to do a little bit of everything, and I think by doing that, each thing is better for it. Nature is that way. Nature is very diverse. There's, you know, and things are constantly changing, and there's ecosystems within other ecosystems, and there really is no waste, because the waste from one thing is the start of the next thing.
If we have a ton of eggplant that didn't sell over the weekend, then Brian's like, how can we use this? How can we translate this into a value-added food or put it on a focaccia? And even if it does go in the trash, it's going to piggies and chickens.
We're always trying new things. Like this week we're working on making, we make pizzas here, so we're making our own cheese. So I'm really excited to see how the cheese is going to turn out this week. We're just talking today about mushrooms, so there might be mushrooms down the road. The more you learn about food, the more you read, the more you realize how the food system works, the more you see it firsthand, being it part of it, you just realize, you know, the right way to do something. The more you know, the more you can't go back to doing something a different way.
It makes me feel good selling it to other people, too, that I know what all went into it, who touched that, you know, that nothing was sprayed on it, nothing was genetically modified. So that makes me feel really good about working here and being here and working as a team here. You know, everyone believes in that sort of thing. It's a really good environment to be in.
It's healthier food. I think it's healthier for people. I think it's also healthier for the planet. It's the responsible thing to do.
Wow! What a now.